In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to Pastor Titus, grace and peace to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We're meditating this evening on that reading from Titus 2, 11 to 14. Hear it again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The word of the Lord, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of Christ, the Son of God and Son of Mary, my dear fellow Christians, the family of God, do you think that people have had about enough of Christmas? I'm glad that you have not. Much easier to worship and praise the Lord with a church full of people rather than alone. We need each other in that too, to praise the Lord and to sing to the glory of God in the highest. But I'm appalled sometimes, like today when I tried to Google a template of Christmas cards. And I specifically said Christmas cards. And all the templates that came up for me did not have the word Christmas in them. Everything but. All holidays this and holidays that. So do you like to smile sweetly at the store clerks when they give you that happy holidays and you smile back and say, Merry Christmas? And have you noticed that there are quite a few of them that are glad to say Merry Christmas back? Because that they're allowed to do as long as you say it first. Ah, Christmas. There are some who would love to celebrate it and have broken hearts and such deep disappointment that they find it very hard. In fact, you can go back to the year 1863 to a very famous American poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, right in the middle of the Civil War. He had practically begged his son Charles not to go off to war. But Charles finally wrote to his father and said that he felt his duty to even lay down his life for his country. And off he went. He was wounded severely in battle. And his father now had that on his heart and mind, along with the grief of his wife and the mother of his children, who had recently died in a fire. How do you celebrate Christmas at a time like that? It amazes me how often it's in the depths of near despair that God's people will well up with these beautiful words of thanks and praise. You see it in the hymns of Paul Gerhardt and others. You certainly see it in the words of one of the most famous Christmas songs, which some of you already know. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Wherever God's people gather around his word and are blessed by his holy sacraments, we have peace, because peace came to earth that first Christmas, came in a way that human beings could never imagine, or in some cases even agree with, established fact though it may be. Peace came to earth in grace, bringing salvation. Got me thinking about this again when a friend sent an email about something that happened in 2010 and 2012, and you may have heard about this. I did not till recently. But a man named Mike Arrett wanted to give a personal tribute to about 6,550 fallen U.S. servicemen and women by placing a flag every mile for each one. Started at the West Coast, Astoria, Oregon, in 2010, and ran a marathon every day, over 20-some miles, all the way to Rockland, Maryland, and placed 4,424 flags, one every mile, for every U.S. soldier and Marine lost in Iraq. Then in 2012, he began at International Falls, Minnesota, again running for several months, more than a marathon every day. Finally, on Veterans Day, November 11th, 2012, in Galveston, Texas, at 1:30 p.m., he finished placing the last of 2,140 flags, honoring those U.S. soldiers and Marines who had died in Afghanistan. The video is interesting to see so many people along the way joining for a while and running along, marking the flags with the names of servicemen and women, and they know where everyone is. You can find out that information too. Finally, quite recently, Mike Arrett wrote, "Thank you all for the kind words, everybody," they had written on the website. "You have one chance to do something unselfishly for someone in your life. Find your calling if you haven't already." And you'd think that would be a pretty good story, except the very next comment, in typical American fashion, is someone who needs to write and ask, "Did you stop and think about the safety of running on the wrong side of the road?" I kid you not. This was all in this person's mind, not to take anything away from this great accomplishment, of course. But the question has to be there: should you have done it differently? Can we not please anyone? Is there no way to do something where you live and work, where someone can finally turn around and have a kind word and just leave it at that? And God sent peace to earth on that first Christmas. And so many don't like how he did it. Just ask yourself, why? Why to such a backwater town as Bethlehem, that still to this day, when we mentioned to an Israeli woman that we were going to Bethlehem, she wrinkled her nose and turned away. Apparently, not a popular place among Israelis. Why to shepherds instead of to kings and princes and important people? And why to a virgin girl from Nazareth? Why? So many questions, why? I think there are deeper questions we ought to be asking, not of God, but ourselves. If we could really bring peace to earth ourselves, why Has it not happened yet? Why is there still no peace on earth so that wars continue all throughout the world and Longfellow's Christmas Carol still rings true to this day? There are still sad hearts, grieving people who have tried to stand and protect our freedoms, and places will be empty at those homes where sons and husbands, fathers won't come back. There's grief. There's sorrow. If we could solve this problem, why has diplomacy failed? And military might never achieved it. Why, my dear fellow inhabitants of Earth, can't we get it done even in our own hearts and our own homes? I'm so glad that God does not wait for me or you or anyone else. That is the heart of grace. Grace is all about God not waiting for us, but stepping in with his undeserved love in ways that we could not think about or imagine. Grace is that heart of God, that loving kindness and tender mercy that is so determined to get it done, that he uses a word in that reading from Isaiah where you read that, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's a word that Martin Luther liked to translate as the angry love of God. God is angry at our sins. He's angry at sinners. He's angry at people who bring heartache to their homes and worry and are anxious about so many things. He's angry at sin. But what does God do about it? He sent peace to this earth to take all sin away. That's what the Lord's Apostle Paul is writing about, this grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all people. It's grace about Christ who did not do as people thought he would do. How could God make us fearful sinners in the presence of his holiness feel more at peace and more at home with God than to send a baby born in a manger? How could God make peace more clear than to send the message through shepherds instead of the high and mighty? Lowly workmen who are very much more like us. Lowly and unimportant to society around us until someone wants your vote. Then you're really important. Or your money. Or something from you. But God's grace gives everything. God did not give us gold because that could be gone in a flash. God did not give us power because that can be taken away by those with more votes or bigger guns. God did not give us fame because that flashes and is gone with the next big star. God gave us the greatest gift of all. When peace came to earth, he gave himself. He gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, a people that belong to God. Nothing says Christmas more clearly and more wonderfully than to know that because Jesus washed your sins away with the sins of the whole wide world, with the cost of his own shed blood, you trust in Jesus, you belong to him. When you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he put his name on you. You are titled in his name. You are a people that belong to God to bless, to comfort, to grant peace. Peace that came to earth in grace that brings salvation. People who belong to God and are eager to do good and eager to say no to ungodly, godliness, and worldly passions. He emphasizes that in the place where this letter was written to. I don't know if you've read Titus recently, but it's written to Pastor Titus by the Lord's Apostle Paul while Titus is trying to organize a church or churches on the island of Crete. In those days, Crete was very much like modern America. I'll read the description from one of their own poets. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Sorry, too much like us today in America. And Paul said, this testimony is true. Timothy, or Titus in this case, therefore rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith. We can't help it when we live in a godless place than to pick up some of that, those attitudes, those anxieties, the worries and the cares and the fretting that goes on is what chases peace away from our hearts. But peace came to earth to bring us God's hope that powers love. This hope that powers love teaches us to gladly say no and realize we've not lost anything when we say no to sin. Because there's this hope that has come, the living in hope in Jesus, that teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's something about hope that brings life. I remember a picture early in the days of the internet, and you know, you'd save those pictures in those days because there was no way to find them back again. There was one of a twin next to his or her twin, and they're lying in the cradle, the one with the arm across the other. And the story of these two twins was that one was born very sickly and dying, and they had them separated for a time until one of the nurses realized, put them back together in the same cradle. And in the picture, the one with the arm across the other is the healthy one. And they said things turned around. As soon as they were back together again, that arm across the other twin gave help and healing. In the way our Lord brings us help and healing, not just for our bodies, but for our souls. When we have this hope of Jesus coming again in glory to take his people home. It's hope of the one who brings salvation, the peace that came to earth, and it's hope that gives us power. Power to say no to sin and yes to God as we wait for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In my position, I have the joy of working with God's people constantly, and it is a very wonderful blessing to have people who, in the Lord, love you and care for you and support you because of Jesus. But I know most of you don't get to work in that kind of environment. You live and work with people who are very difficult to put up with sometimes because of the way they talk. And because of the fact that they're always trying to put the spotlight on themselves and can't say thank you even at the times when you really did something good for them, maybe over an extended period of time. Martin Luther had an interesting comment. He said, it requires no great wisdom to live only among the godly and do good. But the keenest judgment is necessary to live with the wicked and not do evil. Not to return evil for evil. The keenest judgment is the judgment that you know from God when he sent Christ in his righteousness, that peace that came to earth to end the war between us and God. He not only washed the sins away, but when you trust in him, he gives you his righteousness before God in heaven. Peace came to earth in hope, powering love because of gratitude and thanks. It gives you the endurance you need to live in the real world with sometimes really awful people and keep on giving to them the love that that God has given to us in the Christ child. We saw a gleam of that in the children's Christmas service last Sunday. It was a beam from the stars of heaven, that little taste of heaven to see those joyful faces saying and singing the good news of Jesus, the Savior, born for us all. No matter where the bells may toll or the lights go out on Christmas, for us who can come and see what the shepherds saw and hold what Mary held in her arms, this we will always ponder in our hearts. Here with our Lord Jesus and kneeling at the manger bed, we see again, peace came to earth, and peace, God's peace, to you all. Amen.